This case is also Veterans Contracting Group v. United States, 2018-14-10. We'll hear from you again, Mr. Lipkin.
Thank you, Your Honor. If it pleases the Court, my name is Joseph Whitcomb and I represent Veterans Contracting Group on case number 14-10 before this Court. In this issue, this case turns around the SBA's, in our view, the world recalcitrant allegiance to a definition of a word. In this case, the word is unconditional.
The mootness question, because it's the government has terminated the contract for convenience, and so why doesn't that render this moot?
For the reasons that we briefed before, there is a collateral damage question, which is still before this Court, which is the SBA's actions in this instance resulted in the removal of Veterans Contract VCG from the VIP database. That was the first instance. That's why we're here in the first place. That's why it's not moot. The second reason is there was, in our view of the world, a constitutional violation as it applies to Veterans Contracting Group and other veterans in this application of the Wexford standard for the history that it was applied from 2006 forward, because
what relief are you seeking for that?
One is a declaratory relief, Your Honor.
We're in the Court of Federal Claims. The Court of Federal Claims is largely, I mean, on review from the Court of Federal Claims, largely does not issue declaratory judgments. It issues money judgments. It can issue equitable relief in order to carry out those money judgments, but it doesn't have declaratory judgment authority.
It does have authority to rule on constitutionality of provisions, and it does have the authority to carry it to, to answer Your Honor's first point.
Well, let's move past that. I don't want to get a debate on that, but what relief besides a declaratory judgment do you think we could have the Court of Federal Claims provide in this case?
In this case, it would be a... Well, what we're seeking is a reversal of the lower court's decision, which was at the SBA's determination.
I understand what you think the error is and what the court did, but what relief would that lead to?
One, for one thing, the SBA's determination back in January April of 2017 rendered, as it stands today, as we sit here before you, the SBA's determination is that that VCG is ineligible to compete for non-VA SDVOSB procurements until it fixes its operating agreement. That was the ruling from the area office that was upheld by the Office of Hearings and Appeals, and that Judge Leto found was not arbitrary and capricious.
But there's a new standard.
There is a new standard, but that new standard has not been applied directly to Veterans Contracting Group as it relates to their operating agreement. And
well, isn't it premature to determine what that new standard is going to be until it's actually applied in the context of a new qualification and a new procurement? How are we to know what SBA is going to do with the new standard as applied to VCG?
Well, VCG also was ineligible to compete for contracts from that were non-VA SDVOSB.
Those contracts aren't part of this case, though.
But its eligibility is before this case. Its eligibility to compete for those contracts historically is still before this case.
The new regulation gives you everything you want for the future, right?
We are of the mind that the answer to that is yes. The October 1, 2018 regulation grants, puts the definition in place from 8A and WOSBs and applies it to SDVOSBs. So,
and with regard to this universe of contracts you supposedly weren't eligible to compete for, what kind of relief do you think we could give to that? I mean, these contracts are either been awarded or canceled or performed or the like, and they're not even part of this case.
But if 14-10 is moot, then 14-09, I may be saying that backwards. If the SBA's actions, if we don't get a ruling that SBA's actions were arbitrary and capricious, then there's no basis for challenging the VA's actions for the arbitrary removal, because the VA's entire...
Wait a moment.
I don't understand. The two cases...
Judge Leto has said it was arbitrary and capricious. The government didn't appeal. Over, done with. That's the assumption in the 09 case.
Yes, Your Honor, I agree.
I don't think this case affects the 09 case at all. I mean, I may differ with you on the views of the effect on the, you know, what the 09 case is, but what relief would the Court of Federal Claims order in this case, given that the standard has changed and the contract at issue in this case has been canceled?
The cancellation of that contract only happened days ago.
It's still canceled.
But I'm saying, Your Honor, we haven't had it. Nothing has told as it relates to the cancellation of that procurement. We wouldn't have standing to cancel it.
Well, that's the problem with... I don't understand what your argument is to why this case isn't moot. The contract that you were challenging the award of is gone. There's nothing... We can't reinstate the contract. I mean, if we reinstated the contract, it would be to your adversary. We can't... you know, kick them out and reopen solicitation. We can't do any of that kind of relief. The standard has changed, so even if we could order a declaratory judgment that the previous standard was wrong, what effect would it have since that standard's no longer in place?
Well, the effect that it would have is that we suspect that Veterans Contracting Group was not the only party harmed by the application of the Wexford standard.
Those parties have complaints about that, they can bring it in an appropriate case where there's an appropriate injury to them.
Our only argument here before this court is that VCG was harmed by the application of the Wexford standard. It has, you know, attorney's fees that it has fought for the last year and a half as it relates to this misapplication of the Wexford case. It has the preparation cost, obviously, as it related to the demolition case. It has other damages that are still associated with this misapplication of the Wexford standard.
In this case?
In this case, that is relates to...
Where did you preserve any of this, or where did you make any of these arguments in your response to the government's motion to dismiss as moot?
We argue...
This is the first time I'm hearing that you're damaged because you had attorney's fees. Well, did you make a request for attorney's fees?
Honestly, Your Honor, I came in here assuming that the mootness issue had been decided because the government's motion for mootness was denied yesterday. So I didn't come prepared to argue on the issue of mootness.
It was denied pending this argument. We were giving you an argument.
Yes. Okay, so for the issues that for the reasons we argued in that brief, we don't believe that this case is moot. We don't believe that the collateral damage that that case caused has gone away.
But you didn't argue anything about attorney's fees in that brief, right?
We did not argue in that case about attorney's fees. In that brief, we didn't argue about attorney's fees. We argued about the collateral damage. We argued about the fact that in this instance, what I think is ultimately at stake here is that veterans have been treated historically differently, in our view of the world, disparately, based on this Wexford standard. And that issue has not been, in our view of the world.
We can agree with you on that. It seems like the government agrees because they've changed the standard. What's the actual relief that results from that conclusion?
Well, I don't know if it would. I don't believe that it would fall within the purview of this court. But if our arguments are correct and that the reason for the Wexford standard being wrong was constitutional, then I think that opens the doors to lots of other types of relief, including 1983 actions and the like.
File those in the appropriate court. Are you asking us to issue a declaratory judgment that the government acted unconstitutionally so that you can go force it elsewhere? I don't see how the Court of Federal Claims has any jurisdiction over that kind of claim.
I think the Court of Federal Claims has jurisdiction over whether or not VCG's procedural due process rights were violated, which we argued in the lower court. We also argued—
In connection with the procurement.
In connection with the procurement and in connection with its overall entitlement,
Once the procurement goes away, the Court of Federal Claims doesn't have freestanding jurisdiction over constitutional due process claims.
But I think that ignores the fact that the eligibility to compete for STVOSB contracts is a property right established by statute, and that that property
right. pivoting to a taking claim now? Because I don't see that anywhere in your response to us in opposition to the motion to dismiss, or certainly not in the proceedings below.
Our arguments in the proceedings below were that the SBA misapplied, adhered to a Wexford standard simply because it could.
And you've gotten the relief, at least tentatively, that you want, which is that they've changed the standard. So you want a declaration that, in retrospect, they shouldn't have done that?
I'm saying that it was still damaged by the award of this contract earlier. And
it may have been, but the contract's been canceled. And you have not stated in any clear way what kind of monetary relief or otherwise injunctive relief in the typical bid protest manner that we could order or have the Court of Federal Claims order.
Well, they are small. They are included in our brief, which is what this court has ruled over and over again, which is simply its preparation cost and its proposal cost.
Did you say that in response to the opposition, in your opposition to the motion to dismiss?
I believe we did. Yes, Your Honor, I believe
we did. Can you point it to me? Because I looked for bid prep costs and I didn't see it.
I don't know if we argued in that motion or if in our earlier motions.
Well, this is a mootness in response to the cancellation of the contract.
Your Honor, if I could reserve that time for rebuttal.
Into your rebuttal time.
Yeah,
Why don't you look for the answer, and you can provide it in rebuttal.
Thank you.
Ms. Speck?
Good morning, Your Honor. Elizabeth Speck for the United States. We would again renew our request that the court dismiss this.
So why was this contract terminated for convenience?
Certainly, Your Honor. The main reason for the termination for convenience was this was a demolition contract for VA buildings. There was a large increase in asbestos found in the buildings, and the change was large enough to make a modification out of scope of the original contract. At the time the termination for convenience contract was issued, approximately 16% of the contract had been completed. That was primarily site work. And the agency's plan going forward is to resolicit this as part of a combined project with a site build out in March of 2019, approximately.
And will that be bid? Will the solicitation be for veteran-owned businesses?
I don't know at this time, Your Honor. I think they're still evaluating the requirements and whether they would have a sufficient number of veteran-owned small businesses. At the time, and again, if the the SBA's regulations at 13 CFR 125.30 would permit Veterans Contracting Group to go back before the SBA and explain why it should be eligible to be a service-disabled, veteran-owned small business, and that would be decided under the new standard based on the regulations that were effective as of October 1st.
Okay.
Your Honor, in terms of, I don't know if the court has any other questions, in terms of the bid prep and proposal costs, the complaint, which is unfortunately not part of the appendix, never asked for bid prep and proposal costs. It said award VCG attorney fees and expenses. So bid prep and proposal costs have never been a part of this. And again, to the extent attorney's fees would ever be at issue, the government's position would still be substantially justified. The Small Business Administration was acting in accordance. OHA was acting in accordance with its precedent at the time.
Would the claim for EJIA fees, EJIA would apply here, right?
I believe so.
Yeah. So would a claim for EJIA fees prevent mootness?
I don't believe so, Your Honor. I think the step for jurisdiction is whether it's an injury in connection with a procurement or a proposed procurement. And here there simply is no procurement injury to be remedied, which is the jurisdictional hook.
There are no cases that address that question about attorney's fees and mootness?
Not that I have off the top of my head, Your Honor. Again, we would submit that if there's no jurisdiction, then the court cannot address that question. Again, there's just simply no competitive injury to be remedied by the court here. If the court has no further questions, we respectfully request that the court either dismiss this as moot or affirm the judgment of the lower court. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Mr. Whitcomb, you have 3 minutes plus for rebuttal if you need it.
Okay, so the court has raised the issue of fine one that the new regulations on October 1, 2018 give...
You didn't request a bid preparation cost on the complaint, is that right?
I think that that's correct. When we were done with judgment...
Any authority that says that a request for EJF fees prevents the underlying case from becoming moot?
I do agree with that, Your Honor. I believe that that point avoids it from becoming moot, but also the second issue...
No, but our cases. Are there any cases?
The case law that I understand, and we argue for EJF fees in other contexts on a regular basis, is that if the government has acted in a way that is unreasonable, that is the standard by which EJF fees...
Well, sure, that's the standard. But are there any cases that say a request for EJF fees it prevents mootness?
I would be happy to brief that issue after the fact, Your Honor. I don't have any offhand that would discuss the issue of mootness. As it relates to this case, however, I think the one thing that keeps us from being moot goes back to the area office's determination, which was ultimately upheld. It isn't relying, it states that in its order that Veterans Contracting Group, part of its ineligibility is it is then required to go into SAM.gov and remove its status of eligibility from SAM.gov until it gets leave from the SBA. It shouldn't be in a position of having to assume that the SBA will now grant its authority for or its eligibility just because there's been a rule change. In other words, SBA, Veterans Contracting Group would then still be charged with going back to the SBA. The area, I'm going to say this more clearly, the area office's charge was what that the SBA, or that BCG rather, could not hold itself out as a service-disabled veteran or small business until it had sought leave from the SBA to do so. It has not because of the pendence of this case. So therefore, it is not, that keeps us from being moot. It can't, in our view of the world, simply go back and say, well, there's been a rule change. We can go back into SAM and certify ourselves as an SDVOSB anymore. And if it's not able to do that, it's not able to compete for it's not able to compete for SDVOSBs.
I don't understand what you're saying.
Part of the eligibility in any procurement is part of the certs and reps that are either contained in the procurement itself or in the solicitation itself where the veteran-owned business checks a box on that procurement sheet or secondarily goes out or alternatively goes out to SAM.gov and certifies that it is an SDVOSB. The area office's determination on eligibility precluded veterans contracts.
But the trial court already decided that that wasn't correct.
Only as it related to the VetBiz database. It did not.
That's the only part of this case that was before the trial court.
No, Your Honor. I'm sorry. For veterans.
So you're asking us to issue a declaratory judgment to the SBA to correct its database.
No, it's not. It's the area office's determination was that not just.
I frankly have no idea what you're talking about. Are you saying that you are prevented from going back to SBA and saying our status needs to be corrected?
I'm saying that that's what it has to do. It has to go. The court's ruling, the court question was.
And what would we do? Are you saying we can tell the SBA that you don't have to do that, that it's you should just be reinstated automatically, even though there's now different regulations to apply?
I'm saying, yes. I'm saying that if this court rules that the SBA's determination was erroneous in the first place because of the arguments that we've made, then that eliminates any sort of, because we can't assume that it's going to be a matter of Veterans Contracting Group simply going to the SBA, seeking eligibility again, and then it will be instantly reinstated. We expect that there'll be time before it will be able, which would put VCG in a position of having to go out and protest yet another procurement in order to fight about its eligibility to compete for SDVOSBs, because Judge Leto's ruling was the SBA wasn't wrong. And the questions from the court today are, why can't VCG just reassert?
Even if we said the SBA was wrong under the old standard, they have a new standard.
But if it was wrong under the new old standard, there's no assumption that VCG was wrong under the new standard.
Thank you, counsel. We'll take the case under advisement.